crying has been not looked upon in a glorious way like romance has been in Bollywood. Like, it's okay to cry, right? It's beautiful and it's strengthening.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
Aditi spoke about how important it is for a mother to balance out the role of motherhood and her own self. You have two children. And I remember having a conversation with you that your second child was a very difficult journey for you, like having a second child. And that somewhere was a trigger in you finding your balance.
Oh, but they say when it rains, it pours, right? That time of my life was a very, very difficult time. My pregnancy including. I was in bed rest for most of the time. My son was born preterm. He was 6.5 months of age when he was born. So he was born 1 kilo and then he lost 200 grams. And he literally fought for his life.
Painful for a mother to witness that.
It was very, very difficult. And then my personal life also went through a lot of crisis at that point. So it was a very difficult 2 years after that.
Mm.
And that made me step back from my life and assess a lot of things. And Vipassana was part of it.
I did count
first Vipassana in that time.
Wow. That's interesting. And since then, your child is about 12 years old now.
He's 12,
and you've had quite a journey. In the last 12 years, you must have done Vipassana 4 times. You practice meditation every day.
Every day.
Right? And have you ever had a moment of conflict where you had to make a decision where you didn't win? Has there ever been a moment like that? Like, I'm having to lose this.
That happens many times.
And that's normal for you? It's okay?
Well, of course.
How do you make peace with it?
I cry.
It's okay to cry, right? But this is another thing.
I do.
There's another thing I want to talk. Like, you know, crying has been, I don't know, not looked upon in a glorious way like romance has been in Bollywood. Like, it's okay to cry, right? It's beautiful and it's strengthening.
Absolutely. And even for the men out there, it's okay to cry. Men still cry. And it's very cathartic.
It's relieving.
Yes.
Release a huge burden or a baggage, right?
Yeah.
And becoming aware of that pain is beautiful.
Look at anything that is painful as a stepping stone. So I decide, okay, is this going to make me bitter? Why is it going to make me better? So I go through the whole, so to say, grieving process and minor grieving process of crying and talking to my mentor or my friend. And then I take the next step, see how it can help me.
And now you're doing a lot of workshops for other people, like around the city. You've done like almost 50 workshops for the Mumbai police. You recently did a workshop for a lot of women who gathered on intrapersonal communication skills.
Yeah.
That's like a topic that not many people talk about. Interpersonal is obviously touched upon very often.
Yeah.
Intrapersonal communication, how important is that?
So I believe that we are pretty much the center of our world, right? How the world appears to me and how it appears to you is completely different. But yet we are in the same world and we speak about you and I, this space. But what about the voice that is in your head that is constantly talking to you?
Yeah.
Even when we are sleeping, this still goes on.
Yeah.
Kind of our dreams, which we remember, we might not remember. But the fact is that that voice needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And not many people coach or speak about it. But that is, if you become aware of it and you learn how to, if you train it, then life becomes a lot easier. All these things happen to every single person. No matter who you are, no matter where you live, what you do, it is part of life. Again, like I said, that how to respond.
And the state of mind. I've noticed a lot of times in the same room, breathing the same air, having the same food and the same water. There are two people having two different state of emotions.
Yes.
One is feeling hellish, as if, you know, this is the most torturous, painful moment of their life.
Mm.
And the other one is feeling at bliss.
Mm.
Like a state of mind.
Mm.
It has been quite a challenge for most people, at least in the coming generations, you know, with the whole information explosion that we're having, the amount of exposure we're having to digital technology.
Yeah.
It's quite challenging, right? And how do you maintain your state of mind? Like, what do you do? What are the practices for that?
I curtail my digital use because again, what happens is the way it is built is it kind of sucks you in.
Mm.
You start with one and then it leads to another and then suddenly you realize how 2 hours are gone. So I curtail that. Having said that, it is a necessity. Social media or digital area is a necessity, especially for a person like me who is in media, who wants to be part of media and do the things that I do. So I spend enough time on it, but I am now aware, which I wasn't earlier, I am now aware, okay, now I need to stop.
Yeah,
I cannot be spending that much time and then I need to do something more productive. Some, television here the whole day. I go through those also. And that's okay. I don't, again, earlier I would feel like, oh my God, I wasted one whole day. How could I have done that?
But that won't kill trip
it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It could be a boon and a bane, right? Digital technology.
Yeah.
Decide how you use it.
Yes.
There's no need to satanize any part of this world.
No.
Nothing is unpretty. It's the way we see it.
Yes.
And that's why they say beauty lies in the eye of the beholder, right? How do you deal with that? Like, how do you know this is pretty? Oh, wait, I'm not looking at it in a pretty way. How do I change my perception of it? Do you have an exercise, a mental exercise that you do to change your perception of the situation? Because the minute you change your perception, you shift, right?
Yeah, but again, everything need not necessarily be pretty.
Yeah.
Because if it is dirty, it is ugly, it is so.
Okay.
Ugliness and beauty. These are the two sides of the coin. It is part of life. If some garbage is lying on the road, I don't think I have the knowledge or the capacity to look at it and say, this is a work of art. I can't. It is ugly. Yes. It is stinking. It is so. What am I going to do about it?
Yes.
It is in my hand.
We don't have to live in a state of illusion, peace and happiness.
Yeah.
Right. What's your journey forward? Where are you going with this master's in psychology and the master's now that you're doing at the Harvard University? Where are you going with all this?
Our degrees or that will continue. I think I quite like learning.
Yeah.
And earlier I would just read,
yeah,
educate myself. But I also realize that when you have a formative education, then it is easy for you to project yourself in the world as that.
Mm.
So it becomes a necessary kind of a certificate to have.
Yeah.
And that's why I decided on Harvard, because it is one of the best universities in the world and
yeah,
it is acknowledged everywhere.
Yeah.
So I did my master's in India, but I said, no, let me do an international kind of a degree,
yeah,
where tomorrow if I go to any country and I say that, you know,
yeah,
then that helps. It doesn't really matter as such to me as a person, but I know that certain things have to be done because we live in a society and society expects certain things. So
again,
I said that I'm not an island. I need people around me.
Yeah.
And I want to help the society and I want to help the people. So that is what my next journey is, that wellness expert is something that is very close to my heart and I help people achieve wellness in their life.
I guess, you know, that comes also with a lot of awareness and humbleness, that you understand that we come from a sense of privilege, a state of privilege. And now comes a state of responsibility.
Yeah.
You're not just living a luxurious life because you can afford it. You're going one step ahead and wanting to share that happiness and peace that you discovered and felt with more people.
Yes.
Right? So you're doing a lot of workshops and
corporate training is another
way of doing it.
Way of my giving back, because when you train the leaders and automatically the organization also benefits.
Mm.
So I do corporate, again, intrapersonal mastery.
Yeah.
That is something that I have worked on.
I keep talking to people about like investing in their workforce.
Mm.
Make them happier, make them healthier. Because when you do that, you're investing in the bottom line and the top line.
Yeah.
Because a healthy workforce makes a healthy company, makes a profitable company. Right?
Absolutely.
And that topic is getting accepted faster and faster. There's a topic that I'm going to touch, which is, I guess, a taboo topic about the need to do therapy, which has been widely accepted in the West, but not so much in India.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for that?
So mental illness is something, again, where I feel very strongly about, and seeking help for mental illness is a taboo in our country, like you rightly said. I also want to remove that. I'm also working towards it, towards abolishing this whole lack kind of that mental illness comes with, to say that, you know, your mind is also treated like an organ. If you feel sick, you go to a doctor. If you are mentally ill, go to a doctor. Go to a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason why that science has developed so much and it helps so many people, as the West has already seen. In India, people still feel that, no, we'll manage. We have friends, we have family, and we can do it. But there is a scientific way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why a psychologist or a therapist becomes very important and a crucial part. And it's okay to be depressed. It's okay to be sad. If it is beyond a point, then you need to look at it and say that, how can I get out of it?
Yeah. And therapy is not just for people who are depressed or anxious, right? Therapy is for everyone.
Everybody. It is actually for everybody. Because how I look at it, like I have a few clients who come to me because they want to go to the next level.
Yes.
So everything is fine. Everything is set. What next?
What next?
Because the mind always wants some problem. If there is no problem, mind will create a problem
to solve it,
to so that there is some fodder that is fed. So we look at how to go to the next level without getting into this, let me create a problem kind of, you know, unconscious living that most people do. So how, what is next? How can you be better at who you are? So that is where counseling can come in as well.
We're now seeing a lot of celebrities who've started coming forward and trying to throw light on this concept of mental health. It's I think, a welcome change in our country, at least. And I want to understand the mind-body connection because, you know, we talk about preventive healthcare. What's the connection that you've drawn from your experiences, the whole mind-body connection?
I think there is no separate mind as such. Mind is in every cell of yours. So your whole body is mind.
Right.
And I'll give you an example to make it very simple, is that you say heartbreak. Now, mind is not in your heart, yet you say heartbreak. And when a person, whoever's gone through this traumatic experience of getting their heart broken, will know what I'm talking about. So it, what is that? How do you quantify it? You can't. It's not tangible, but it is there. So there is a mind in your heart, right? Gut feeling. Emotion suppressed.
Yeah, even diseases, we keep talking about the gut-brain connection, right?
Yeah.
Like diseases actually emanate from the body because of suppressed emotions a lot of times.
Yeah.
An anxious, scared person or someone who's feeling a lot of fear, a lot of anger, starts suppressing those feelings and that leads to disease. That is also something that we've touched upon.
Yeah.
And considering your qualifications, your dual qualifications as a medical doctor of the physical body and now psychology, you understand the mind and body even more than other people, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure all the viewers out here would also want to understand, you know, how do you manage to maintain yourself in such a healthy, radiant way? Because if you're not happy and healthy inside, you can't radiate it. Am I right? You can't use layers of makeup to cover what you don't have.
No, you can't. You can't. So the lightness that comes with working on yourself, introspecting yourself and getting out, it shows on anybody. Like, when I go for Vipassana, it becomes so clear that which is a person who's come for the first time and who has been in this practice for a very long time.
Right.
It becomes so obvious. And it is the aura. It is the inner, innate calmness that shows in on your face, in your body. And it, that is how it is.
And during your meditation experiences, it must have been like a melting pot because we get people from so many countries coming to India to practice meditation in Vipassana, right?
Yes.
So that must have also broken a lot of barriers in the mind or stereotypes in the mind that you might have had or you grew up with and you didn't know existed. Has it opened up your mind? Practicing meditation with groups of people of different backgrounds, cultures, religion, languages.
I actually have never had these kind of stereotypes in my mind.
Right.
Having said that, yoga is something which is practiced world over. And because it's practiced in the West, India is awakening to it, which is really sad because yoga began in our country.
We wait for approval from other countries.
I mean, you are the founder of Prana Ayurveda, Prana Healthcare Center, which is Ayurveda.
Yeah.
And it is our way of life. It has been for many years. It is a way of life. Simple, full stop. Don't put it in a category to say, this is main and this is the alternate to that. No, it's not like that. It can be practiced hand in hand. And then we can really benefit from it.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be.
It's even more holistic coming from you because you are a medical doctor. You've studied allopathy. You've practiced yoga, you've practiced meditation. Now you also practice parts of Ayurveda or all of it. It depends on the intensity of the knowledge. It's a very holistic way of looking at life, right? You're not satanizing any pathy, like be it allopathy or naturopathy or Ayurveda.
I've seen that a lot. I see a lot of allopathic doctors saying that Ayurveda, you will not get treatment out of it. And I get a lot of Ayurvedic doctors saying that, oh, you know, allopathy, you will get so many of these complications and it's not like that. Both have its place in our lives.
Yeah.
And we need to accept it.
I have people like asking me questions like, oh, which is better, Ayurveda or allopathy? I said, see, if you have a fracture, I don't think you should go to an Ayurveda doctor. Yeah. Please go to an allopathy doctor to get it fixed.
Yeah.
And if you just have a common cold and cough, please don't pump steroids and antibiotics.
Many people themselves go and buy it because OTC, the over-the-counter, you can just buy it. Anyway, let's not get into that. That's a completely different
thing. But people become victims of their own habits and then they blame the science for it.
Yeah.
How has your journey been as a mother now that your children have started growing up. Has it changed you as a person? Have you started seeing sides or dimensions to your own personality that you didn't know existed?
Yes, because my daughter is an adult now, so she has opinions and she's a good sounding board. So whenever I discuss anything with her, I know I will get a very rational, and she thinks very differently than who or how I think. And she has been that even as a child. Like, I have been an extremely curious person. And because I had her at a very young age and I didn't have anybody else in my friends or close community that had a child. So I was one of the first ones to have a small baby and has to carry her around.
And you became a mother at the age of 24, right?
Yes. So I learned so much from her. When she was 5 years of age, I said, come on, let me show you how a bread is made. I'll take you to a bakery and I'll show you. She just looked at me and she said, no, people can give 10 rupees to Bhaiya and he'll go and buy the bread. I don't need to go and see it. And I'm like, don't you want to know how it's made? And she's like, no, I don't. So I realized that not everybody has to know everything like how I want to know. Yeah. One day I come home, she's sitting, she was like 7 years of age. She's sitting cross-legged on the sofa. And my domestic helper was sitting with her down and they were completing her project.
Okay.
So I was like, what are you doing? This is your project. You need to do it. She's like, Mama, I'm getting it done from them. Even now, when I have anything that I need a completely different perspective, I speak to her. She's always managed to give me a perspective which I have never thought of. Where my son is concerned, now he's 12. So he doesn't, he's grown up to be an independent boy. So I have a lot of free time now, which I never had when I was younger, because all my friends had a lot of free time that time because they got married much later and had children much later, marrying a few. So I have a lot of free time now to myself.
It's amazing how Aditi is a lifelong student and you learn even from your own children, even from your own daughter you're learning.
Yeah.
You're constantly studying books written by a lot of intelligent people, of course. And you're constantly studying even normal circumstances, being a lifelong student.
Yes.
I'm really happy we had this conversation because there's so much to learn from every conversation that we have with you.
Yes.
And thank you so much once again for being on the show.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jagra signing off.